Thou art welcome in this place. Thou art welcome in this place.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's just bow our heads to Him today. Dear Father, truly, Lord, You are welcome in this place. We welcome You to take control of this meeting and of each and every one of us, Lord. We don't want to control ourselves anymore, Lord. We want You to take control. We want You to have preeminence, to fill us, to save us, to wash us in the blood of Calvary, Lord. Lord, we know that it's best for us if You have Your way. Have Your way this day, Lord. We commit all things into Your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated again for a moment, just for a moment. A few announcements. Praise the Lord. We're happy to see Sean and Patty here today, and I know they... Sean said they'll want to dedicate the baby at some other time, and that's fine. It's just a big step to get here after you have a baby. So I get it. Praise the Lord. Benjamin Joseph.
Amen.
Amen. That's wonderful. So, amen. So we have the final list for the May trip. I just want to let you know, and I think we understand who wants to go and who is going, and we have the room assignments, and we'll post that next week. Most people are, staying with someone they know, I think, so there shouldn't be a problem there. If there is a problem, let me know. And then in the back, I've made a copies that you could take with you of the itinerary, because I know there's a lot of people that are driving out and meeting us out there at the tabernacle or somewhere. So all the addresses and times are on the sheet if you're not coming. So we have some people coming, a few families, I think three families from Elkton. And so they'll probably, most of them will probably meet us out there, I think. And then... just it's shorter for them to drive there than to drive up here. So I'm looking forward to the trip, and we started reserving the bus and the tickets and things like that. So the bus is going to be full on Saturday when we tour Gettysburg. Some people are driving out on Friday, and then they'll drive to the hotel on Friday night. But then Saturday, it's best if you just stay on the bus the whole day. Because the Gettysburg Park asked us not to have a trail of cars following the bus, and the bus is going to have a tour guide on it that would talk about the historical Gettysburg Park. So anyway, praise the Lord. We're looking for that blessing there. And again, don't forget to pick up that in the back. Amen. I can't read my own writing. Let's see here. So Tim read Psalm 103, and so it just ties right into the message today, I think. When I was looking at the first couple verses, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all of thine iniquities, who healeth all of thine diseases. You believe that? Amen. See, the quality, David is a mysterious character in a way, sometimes, because you see that God said he's a man after my own heart. And yet we see he had failures in his life. He sinned against God, against his fellow man. So how do we resolve those two things? Only by the grace of God. You can't resolve that if you're only depending on your works and the things that you do. But when you're trusting in the grace of God, when you're trusting that David had a faith in him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgiveth all of my iniquities. David knew there was forgiveness in God. And he had the faith, he possessed the faith to latch on to that. I don't know how to say it another way. He had within him the faith to believe God forgives me. That was before Calvary. And then he had within him who healeth all of my diseases. See, David tapped into the Spirit of God and realized that in God there's a fountain of forgiveness and mercy and healing that we don't deserve but is available to us. And I believe we need to have that same kind of faith if we want to see God move in a supernatural way. So let's all stand. I'd like to read from Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. And I'm going to start with verse 1. But let's pray one more time before we read from His Word. Dear Father, Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We know the heavens that we see above us shall pass away. The earth shall pass away, but Your Word shall never pass away. It shall never fail. Your Word is the only sure thing that we can rest on. And Lord, we ask You to come today by Your Spirit and take the written Scripture and make it alive to us, Lord. Lord, truly we want to see the Word manifested. You, when You came in flesh, You were the Word made flesh. Lord, we believe that You have purposed in Your heart that You would have preeminence in the people in this last time, and that they too would become, by Your sovereign grace, the Word made flesh again. Lord, help us to move and yield to You, Lord. We ask You to bless the reading of the Scriptures and bless each and everyone here. Lord, may we be expecting a supernatural God. Amen. To move in the same way He always did, in a supernatural way. You're an unusual God. You're a mysterious God. And You're our God, Lord. And we love You, and we thank You, and we bless You, Lord, today, and ask You to come and bless us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Judges chapter 6, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass, for they came up with their cattle and their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under the oak which was in Ophrah, and that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. You may be seated. God bless you. What a time it was in Gideon's day. God's people had been overcome by the enemy. They were overthrown. They did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he gave them up to the Midianites, and Israel was hiding, and they were not overcomers, but they were overcome. Amen. And any progress they made was soon destroyed by the enemy. What a time. I think so it is today. We see, it seems you look in the land and people are, instead of being overcomers, they're being overcome. They're being overwhelmed by the devil. They don't have the attitude of an overcomer. They have an attitude that I'm being overcome. It shouldn't be. But yet, it seems to be the time we're living in. Anytime someone makes a little progress with the Lord, it seems like the enemy comes in and just wipes it out. Just destroys it all. Notice that the Midianites and all that, they came in to destroy the land. And see, that's the job of the devil in your life. He wants to destroy any progress you make with God. He wants to destroy any faith you have in God, any trust you have in God, anything. He wants to bring in doubts and fears into your life. But God doesn't want us to fear. God wants us to trust Him even when you can't see.
Amen. Amen.
We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith.
Amen.
See, He wants us to trust what we... I do believe at the end time, the overcomers will be people that do not trust what they see. They trust more in what the Word of God says about them than what they see with their eyes, what they think with their mind. It's more important for us to believe what the Word said than what we know in our mind. We're going to have to trust in the Word of God. Overcomers will trust in the Word of God. See, but notice, in verse 7 it says, It came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel. Oh, what a wonderful God.
Amen.
Even when the children of Israel had sinned and did evil in His sight, He still heard their cries. He still heard their cries. When we turn to God with all of our hearts, He will hear our cries. It doesn't matter what condition we are in. It doesn't matter what we've done wrong. It won't matter. When you turn to Him with all of your heart, He's going to hear you. He's going to hear us. Praise God. And God sent a prophet. Now, people don't like prophets. And they want God to deliver them the way they want to be delivered. You know, and that's a problem through all ages. You know, that people imagine a way of escape. They imagine a way of deliverance. And they want God to do it their way. But what we need to do is be sensitive and accept God's provided way of escape. Because God has a provided way of deliverance. And it's not always the way we think it should be. Many times it's unusual. Praise God. But God likes prophets. And I want you to notice something. I want you to focus in on what the prophet said. Now, forget everything that you preconceived ideas. Let's focus on the scripture. What did the prophet say? Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. He's saying, remember what I did? You remember what I did for you? I delivered you. I delivered you. God delivers us.
Amen.
Right? If you've been born again, you can look back and say, God can say, I delivered you. We didn't do that ourselves. Verse 9, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians. Praise God. And all, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you. And I drave them out before you and gave you their land. You hear what the prophet said? I did this for you. God's, through the prophet's a voice of God, a mouthpiece of God. I did this for you. I delivered you. I drave out your enemies before you. You see the message? And verse 10, and I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites. Look at the commandment. Fear not the other gods. Amen. I am the Lord your God. Fear not the other gods in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. They feared the other gods. They feared you. Praise God. You have not obeyed my voice. I brought you out of Egypt. I delivered you. I don't want you to fear these other gods. You dwell in that land, but don't fear the gods. Listen, we live in Satan's Eden, but don't you fear the devil. Our enemy, the devil, is a defeated enemy.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. We are not to fear the devil. Do you realize when we get to the other side, they'll look on him and say, is this the one that caused all the trouble?
Yeah.
Our God is greater, so much greater than the devil.
Amen.
He does not want us, he wants us to realize who he is. He does not want us to fear anything. He doesn't want us to, I don't believe God wants any fear in your life. You know, perfect love casts out fear.
Amen.
So we need more of the love of God. Praise God.
Amen.
I am your deliverer.
Hallelujah.
I did it before. I can do it again.
Amen.
That's our God. Do you realize how much he wants us to see him as a deliverer? How much he wants us to expect deliverance, not from what we do, but from what he does supernaturally. I think God wants us to expect supernatural deliverance.
Amen.
Now watch. We always need to remember what God did for us. We always need to remember that he's a deliverer and he loves to be a deliverer. He's the Lord of lords and King of kings.
Amen.
Nobody's greater than our God.
Amen.
We serve, actually we believe, I believe you, we serve the one true living God.
Amen.
And besides him there is no other God.
Amen.
What would we be afraid of? Our God wants to manifest himself to us as a great God of deliverance.
Amen.
Now, I find no condemnation in this prophet's message. None. There is no condemnation there. You look at what this prophet said. His message was, I'm a deliverer. I don't want you to fear other gods. But you've not obeyed my voice. We need to obey God. What else did the prophet say? Fear not these other gods. I am the Lord your God. Fear not. Fear not. You know, God doesn't like that. God doesn't like his people to live in fear. I don't believe he likes his people to live with worry, to be burdened down with worry.
Amen.
Worrying about this. Worry and fear are tied to doubt. You cannot separate it. With doubt comes fear. They're married together.
Mm-hmm.
Doubt and fear come together. So if you're experiencing fear, listen, brother, sister, there's doubt in there somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Because faith is accompanied by love. If we really love God and we really trust God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, if we really love God that way, faith will manifest. If we trust his word. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
How many times did Brother Brandon say the prayer line? Have faith, don't doubt.
Amen.
Have faith, don't doubt.
Amen.
Was that just filler words? No, it's important. He knew that deliverance depended upon getting the people to believe. And that doubt is the enemy of faith. Doubts in your mind comes in to destroy your faith. It's like the Midianites going into the land, trying to destroy all the progress. Take away the faith, replace it with doubt, and you got a barren land. Praise God.
Amen.
Have faith, don't doubt. Doubt always accompanies fear. Faith and love go together.
Amen.
Which one do you want? How do you want to live? Do you want to live in doubt and fear your whole life? Or do you want to live in love and faith?
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the living Lord.
Why did they fail to enter the promised land? They doubted God.
Amen.
You notice they went in. He told them the land was theirs. The land is yours. But when they got there, they looked at the size of the enemy and they doubted their God. They said, we can't take it. Yes, the land is everything God said it was. Yes, he promised us the land, but we can't take it because the enemy is too big. How many times do we do that in our daily life?
Amen.
How many times do we fail because we don't think enough of our God?
Amen.
We're not expecting God to overcome supernaturally. The 10 spies were not expecting God to manifest supernaturally. Joshua and Caleb said, let's go now.
Amen.
I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to do it.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's what pleases God. That's what pleases God. The kind of faith says, I don't know how he's going to do it, but my God is God, and my God can overcome anything.
Amen.
Faith.
Amen.
In a supernatural God. Faith expecting God to overcome anything, any enemy. Praise God. Is there any enemy too great for God?
Amen.
Think about it. You know, you don't believe that. You don't believe the devil is greater than our God. But here, you know, our greatest enemy is not the devil. Our greatest enemy is ourself.
Amen. That's right.
But is ourself greater than our God?
Mm-hmm.
See, what happens to people, I believe, is you see yourself. We all go through this. You see yourself, and you're so disappointed in yourself. And you start to rationalize that, I can't. Instead of taking what the Word says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
Amen.
I can, but I say I can, not depending on myself. It's like Caleb saying, we can take the land. He wasn't depending on himself. He was depending on his God to overcome his greatest enemy. And I want you to know God can overcome
Amen.
You. Do you believe it? All you need to do, see, all you need to do is believe it and confess it.
Amen.
Ask God to deliver you from yourself and believe it and say, thank you, Lord, for delivering me from myself.
Amen.
And you watch God come on the scene. All of a sudden, if you really go down that path, you start realizing he's overcoming. In an area that I could never overcome, he's overcoming because I gave it to him. I told him I couldn't do it. I told him I just was unable. And I said, but God, you are able. You can change what no one else can change. You can make possible what was impossible in my mind. Praise God.
Amen.
I'm expecting a supernatural God
Amen.
To manifest his word. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Faith in God's word will cause him to overcome even our own self. That's how you overcome. Faith in God's word and his ability, not your own. But we must believe him and we must confess what his word said. Regardless of what we see in this age and in ourself, believe God and confess what his word says.
Amen.
Can we do that?
Amen.
Yes, we can do that.
Right.
Will we do that? Yes, we're going to do that.
Amen.
No longer am I defeated. I am an overcomer.
Right.
Say, Brother John, I don't feel like it. I don't care how you feel. I want you to confess what you believe.
Amen.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You don't see it yet, but you believe it.
Amen.
And what do you believe? You were predestinated to be overcome, or were you predestinated to be an overcomer? I believe we're here to be overcomers.
Amen.
We're not here to be pushed around by the devil.
Right. Amen.
We're not here to be pushed around by our flesh. We got to let our flesh know who's boss. God is boss,
Amen.
Not our flesh. Praise God.
Amen.
God also sent a prophet to this age.
Amen.
Some people hear the message and they walk away. I can't control that. Some people hear the message and they say, he called me a buzzard. I can't control that. But when some people hear the message, they say, he called me an eagle.
Amen.
Some people hear the same message and they say, he said, I'm a son of God.
Amen.
I'm a daughter of God. I'm a child of the King. He called me an overcomer.
Amen.
Same message.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And the same people, they come to the place where they realize, I was placed here at this time to manifest the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Not because I'm good, and not because I'm better, because certainly I'm no good in myself, and I'm no better than anyone else, but I believe that God placed me here in this age to manifest His Word.
Amen.
That's supernatural. When you can get to the place. See, remember the miracle of Mary? Don't ever forget this. The miracle of Mary was not that a virgin could conceive and have a child. The real miracle of Mary is that when Mary heard the message from the angel, she believed it applied to her. She believed that supernatural message that was hanging out there for many, many years applied to her. When an angel came to visit her, she didn't say, that's not for me. She believed it because it was for her. That's the miracle. If the Word of God goes out and people walk away, there's nothing I can do about that. But when the Word of God goes out and there's material there that says, yes, that's for me,
amen,
then that Word will have an effect in that material. Praise God.
Amen.
I believe we're placed here to manifest the Word of God. And actually, I believe all this was predestinated before the foundation of the world. You believe that?
Amen.
And I don't understand all that, and there's some big words, but I believe that God was before there was anything here. I believe He had no beginning, He has no end, and somehow He knows the end from the beginning, and in His mind, all this took place before there even was light. Do you believe that?
Amen.
And the Word of God says that we were predestinated unto the adoption of sons.
Amen.
Adoption is not your birth. Adoption happens after. It's the placing of a son. Praise God. God, help us to see who we are. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Is that what do you hear? What do you hear when you listen to the Word of God, when you read the Bible? And so then an angel came to Gideon, and it says, the angel of the Lord. And there came an angel of the Lord, verse 11, and sat under the... It sat. It was like a man, right? It would not necessarily with wings, because he didn't realize. And he sat under the oak, which was in Orpha, that pertained unto Joash the Abizurite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress and hid it to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said to him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now, maybe Gideon didn't feel like a mighty man of valor. Amen? Here he is hiding from the Midianites. He's doing this work. And we can see from what he says, he's not happy with the conditions. Amen?
Amen.
He didn't feel like a mighty man of valor. But you know what? In the end of the day, it doesn't matter what we think or other people. It matters what God thinks.
Amen.
And in God's eyes, this is a mighty man of valor. Praise God. The Lord is with thee. The Lord is with thee. Do you believe the Lord's with you?
Amen.
The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, I have to say I love Gideon's response. I love it. The title of this message is Gideon's Question. Gideon's Question. Because I love his question. I love... He's in those circumstances. An angel of the Lord comes to him. The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And I love Gideon, the character. I want to shake his hand someday. When we had the privilege of going to Israel, and we got to the place where Gideon lived, and stuff, it probably perked up. Gideon. Yes. Love Gideon.
Amen.
Praise God. I love his response. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us to the hand of the Midianites. You know, Gideon had heard the great stories of deliverance. He heard them.
Amen.
He heard about the God delivering them from Egypt. I'm sure he heard about the plagues and the Red Sea parting and Jericho, the walls coming down, and all the miracles that happened as they went into the promised land. Yet he's living in this horrible time. It seems like God has forsaken his people. There seemed to be no hope on the horizon. And here comes some man sitting on a rock and said, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. If God be with us, where's all the miracles? Praise God. He must have wondered. When I think about Gideon, he must have wondered in his heart many times, where is the great God that delivers? Where is the great God of miracles? I want to see him bring great deliverance. I want to see God in reality. Have you ever had that in your heart?
Amen, brother.
The stories of the past deliverance are great, but I want to see God move now. Amen. If you have that in your heart, then Gideon, you're kindred to Gideon. You love Gideon.
Amen.
Because you feel the same thing. If God be with us, where's all the miracles?
Amen.
What a great question. I think we can ask that question today. If God be with us, where's the miracles? Prophet of God came and he said, the gospel's not just teaching.
Amen.
It's a manifestation of the power of God.
Amen.
Let me just read this quote from Brother Branham. He preached a sermon in 1961. If God be with us, then where's all the miracles? Now, listen to this quote now. Those who believe the message of the hour. And Gideon asked that question. What a scriptural man that was. Now, watch how many times he says Gideon was scriptural. He was a scriptural man. I love that. Don't you want to be a scriptural person? See, heaven and earth shall pass away, my word shall never pass. It doesn't matter what denominations say. It doesn't matter creeds of men. It doesn't matter even what you think. It matters what God says.
Amen.
What a scriptural man that was. That's the kind of man that God comes to. Somebody who knows. Gideon said, if God be with us, if you are the messenger, then where's the miracles that the prophet told us about?
Amen.
He knew everywhere God went, his miracles followed him. He knew that wherever God would be, miracles would be there. Woo!
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
And how can you expect God today to work amongst people who doesn't even believe in miracles?
Amen.
How can it be? And he called him a mighty man of valor and said, now by this you're going to deliver Israel. Now that looked like a man sitting there, and it was a man, and he looked at him and he said, nay, my Lord, if God be with us, then why is all this trouble on us? And where's all the miracles that we're told about? What is the things that, where is the things that God used to do?
Amen.
Now, there is a good way to trust whether a messenger is right or not. If he has a form of godliness, he will deny that power to do those miracles.
Amen.
You see? Some people, they don't outright deny it, but they belittle it. They belittle the expectation of the supernatural.
Amen.
It's a false messenger, right? If he's a messenger from God, he'll not only speak of it, he'll have it to produce it and show that the God that he talks about is with him and in him. You know, many people criticize Brother Branham, but listen, God confirmed that ministry.
Amen.
And he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And I'm expecting God to be the same today that he was back then.
Hallelujah.
We're not going to have another prophet messenger, but God proved to us through that ministry that the Bible's right.
Amen.
And we can expect God to be God, right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I love that.
Amen.
He said, if God was, where's all the mighty miracles? Because we understand, listen how scriptural Gideon was. In other words, he said, if we understand that God is a great God of mighty workings. He's a, a great God of miracles. And if he is with us, and if he is for us, and if he is with us, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, where can I see his miracles? Where can I see this God in action? Where's he at if he's for us?
Amen.
The mighty man of valor could refer back to the old word, and he knowed it's right, because he knowed that God is a supernatural being. And wherever a supernatural being is, he'll do supernatural signs, because the supernatural is in him.
Amen.
You just can't get out of it then. Get out of it. How can you stand in the face of the wind without having the wind blowing? How can you get water without being wet? Water's wet. That's the chemical of it. It's wet. And when you get in water, you're going to get wet, right? And when you get in the presence of God, the supernatural, there's going to be supernatural signs, supernatural workings of a supernatural God. Therefore, he said, where's the working? Where's the miracles? If God be with us, glory. That's it. See, where is God? The miracles are. Where God is. The sign of God is there, see? And Gideon, very scriptural. I think Brother Branham believed Gideon was scriptural.
Yes, he was.
Said, where is these things? In other words, like this, I'm a man, maybe 50 years old, he'd say. I've heard them talk about a God that worked miracles. I've went to church. I believe the priests. I believe the prophets. I believe the written word, all the scrolls. I read all the read in the scrolls where God, when he come in amongst his people, something take place. And Gideon didn't know, but what that was, a man sitting there under an oak tree. Amen.
Amen.
And that's all he knowed. He was a man. He said, now if God be with us, where's the miracles? We want to see him. How scriptural that is. For where the supernatural, where supernatural is, God and his sign would be with him. Where God is, the sign of God is with God. We know that if he's in his people, they will do his signs just exactly.
Amen.
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 Don't you love that?
Praise the living Lord.
When I hear that kind of message, something inside me just stirs up. When I met the message of the hour, when it met me and God grabbed me and he brought me to the scriptures first, and then he brought me to Brother Branham's ministry, something inside me jumped.
Amen.
God is real.
Amen.
God is God.
Amen.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
He's not a historical God. He's not a God of the past. He's a supernatural God.
Amen.
Praise God. How is it that so many that follow the message of the hour will actually belittle the expectation of the supernatural? I have to wonder, what spirit is that? It's not the spirit that was in Brother Branham. Brother Branham never belittled the appropriate, correct working of the supernatural power of God. What Brother Branham was against, he was never against Pentecost. What a crazy interpretation of the message that is. He came to restore us back to Pentecost. He came to restore us back to the original supernatural experience of being born again.
Amen.
He came to restore us back to the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And today we got theologians running around with great teachers and great teaching and nothing confirming their word.
Right. Amen.
Instilling what? Theology in people.
Amen.
And what has it produced? Fussing and debate.
Amen.
It has produced a bunch of know-it-alls that go around thinking they're great. We are the bride. We're better than everybody else. And they deny the original gospel.
Amen.
They deny that Paul's gospel is the only gospel.
Amen.
And they say our message is greater than Paul's. Listen, if what you claim as your message is different than Paul's, then I don't want nothing to do with it.
Amen.
Because Paul said, if any man preach any other gospel, let him be accursed.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Woo,
woo, woo. Hallelujah.
The word for our day is not different than Paul's word. The word for our day got rid of all the man-made creeds and perversion that was added to it down through the ages. It come and bring a fresh, pure word of God.
Amen.
So that God could once again come down and manifest himself.
Amen.
See, you pervert the word, God removes himself.
Right.
But if you got the original word, he comes and blesses it.
Amen.
Praise God. That's what we want. We want the original. How is it people, you know how it is? The devil came in with subtlety. as he always does.
Amen.
Right? How long did it take the devil to have his counsel back in the early days? A couple hundred years after the disciples, hey, we believe a Trinity. Mm-hmm. We know that word's not in the Bible, but we thought it up because we're special. And there's three persons in one God. He's not just one person. We got the revelation of it. See, they claim that their false teaching was a revelation from God.
Amen.
So it is today around the message.
Amen.
False teachings are not revelations. They're perversions.
Amen.
The devil came in with subtlety. At first, there was a saying. Hey, you know, we got all the seals. We don't just got six seals, you know. And God gave me the special revelation of the seventh seal. And you have to believe it or you're not even in the bride.
Mm-hmm.
The prophet said, say what I said.
Amen. Hallelujah.
They go right past the stop signs and the warning signs. I believe everything Brother Branham said about the seals.
Amen.
But when I meet these brothers that got it all figured out, all caught up in theology, belittling the supernatural, I don't believe anything they say about the seals.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
If God be with us, where are the miracles? If God's with you and your great teachers, that you see people practically worshiping men around the message.
Amen.
With no vindication that they're of God.
Amen.
No supernatural. They actually subtly diss the supernatural.
Amen.
Oh, gifts? We're beyond the gifts. We got the word.
Mm-hmm.
If you got the word, you got the gifts too. Because God only adds two. He didn't take away. Woo! We're beyond justification. We still need that. We're beyond sanctification. God knows we still need that. We're beyond the restoration of the gifts. We still need the gifts. They're still in the church. Brother Bram said, all nine spiritual gifts should operate in each local assembly.
Amen.
Where is it?
Amen.
Where is the God of Elijah?
Amen.
Where's the miracle working God? The devil came in with subtlety and he stole the expectation of the supernatural.
Amen.
People sitting dead, overcome by the devil, because they don't believe God is supernatural anymore.
Amen.
They look at the size of the enemy and they say, we can't take it. We can't take it. You know what? We need to get rid of all that. Tear down the strongholds. I can do all things through Christ.
Amen.
I am an overcomer.
Amen.
Confess what the word says you are.
Amen.
Don't believe what you see with your eyes. Praise God. He came in, the devil came in the last days. He followed Brother Man's ministry with theology. He followed it with all kinds of guesses and this means that and that means that and perversion. People around this message of the hour, they believe such weird things if you ask me. I believe what Paul taught. And Brother Branham said when he went beyond the curtain of time, he said, you'll be judged by your message. He said, I preached what Paul preached. Woo!
Amen.
And all the people that made it said, we're resting on that.
Amen.
We're resting that you preach what Paul preached.
Amen.
Amen. God help us to see.
Amen.
Instead, they replaced the truth with fussing and debate and carnality and pride. Where is the sweet spirit of Jesus Christ? Where is the humility and the humbleness amongst the brethren?
Amen.
You know, it's lacking. It's lacking. We need the real spirit of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. But there will be a people.
Amen.
This is my faith talking. There is a people.
Amen.
There will be a people foreordained by God who will not let the distressed devil destroy their pure faith. They won't let the circumstances of the hour. They will not accept a powerless church.
Amen.
God hates a powerless church.
Amen.
He ordained that the church be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Filled with power.
Amen. That's right, brother.
These people in the last day won't accept a powerless church. They won't accept a form of godliness, denying the power thereof.
Amen.
Right? From such, turn away. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power there. That means any kind of religiousness that denies the supernatural power of God the same yesterday, today, and forever, is not of God. I don't care how religious they are. This last day's bride will only be satisfied with the supernatural God they love, manifesting his power in this day, the same as he did in every day. Outside of that, we have nothing. We're just another theological denomination without the supernatural power of God. We don't serve a historic. We serve a living God. We serve a living God. You know, look at the Old Testament miracles. He's a miracle working. Go back to Moses and the great deliverance. He kept referring to that. Look at the plagues. You know, I wrote down some of those miracles. Oh, can I talk about some miracles?
Amen.
You know, there was a burning bush that did not burn. How did that happen? How does a bush catch on fire and not burn? That's what we call supernatural. And out of this bush is a voice. You know, and he tells Moses, you're going to have a sign in the hand. Put his hand in, leprosy. Put his hand in, made whole. That's telling me God is a healer.
Amen.
I don't care what kind of disease you have. Tim referred to, I am the God that healeth all thy diseases.
Amen.
That includes all of them.
Amen.
Spiritual or physical.
That's right. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
He had a staff, throw the staff down, turns into a serpent.
Amen.
Can you explain that? You got a piece of wood in your hand, you throw it down, and it starts moving like a serpent. It must have been a little weird picking it up again. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
And then the plagues. You know, it went down to Pharaoh. The water turns to blood for 7 days. The frogs. Can you imagine frogs everywhere? The lice came from dust. And the magicians couldn't duplicate that. See, our God is a creator. The devil can only pervert. He took dust, he said, lice from dust. And there was lice everywhere. Flies, but no flies in Israel. Now, who can control a fly? God can.
Amen.
But can you imagine flies everywhere? They must have been going crazy. It flies all over their head. You get one, I can get one fly on me and I'm about to go crazy. Can you imagine flies everywhere? Flies in your ears and it's everywhere you're trying to eat something. Flies. And then right over there is Israel and they got none.
Amen.
Listen, flies, why don't you go over there? Because something's stopping us. Supernatural God.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I love the supernatural
Hallelujah.
God.
Praise the living Lord.
Amen. Pestilence on the cattle. They died. But not the cattle in Israel.
Praise the living Lord. Hallelujah.
No pestilence there. See, God makes a difference between his people and not his people.
Amen.
Oh, that's why we surrender to the Lord. Lord, I want to be yours.
Amen.
I want to give you my heart. I want to give you my soul. I want to repent. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to be yours, Lord, because I see a difference in the people of God. Pestilence, sores on man and beast, hail and fire on the ground. Can you imagine hail, raining hail and fire? And those that didn't heed the warning of hail, they got killed in the fields.
Amen.
Oh, we need to heed the warnings of God. Praise God. Hail, locusts cover the earth, darkness. Don't you love this time of darkness that Egypt had? But somehow there was light in the camps of Israel. Woo! How did he do that? I don't know, but I believe it. Can you imagine the Egyptians are like groping around in the darkness? I can't see anything. What is it? I can't see. And just a little way off, there's light in the camps of Israel. Praise God. It shall be light in the evening time. The path to glory you will surely find. In the waterway is the life today. Buried in the precious name of Jesus. Young and old, repent of all your sins. The Holy Ghost will surely enter in. The evening lights have come. It is a fact that God and Christ are one. Hallelujah. And then the firstborn had to die. You know, the firstborn in Israel would have died, except they had the blood on the door. They had a sacrifice that had to be killed. They put the blood on the door. How did they apply the blood? With hyssop, a common weed. Common faith. You don't have to be supernatural faith. Common faith that I believe Jesus died for me. I believe Jesus took my place. That's how you apply the blood. You don't have to get complicated about it. They took the hyssop, which is a common weed that day, dipped it in the blood, and they painted the door, and there was blood on the door. And our God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And the death angel came down, and it comes down in the midst, and all that didn't have blood on the door, the firstborn died. Everywhere died. And that broke their back. And they let the people go. And then they get down by the Red Sea. You know, God, you know, our God is God, you know.
Amen.
See, some people thought, we're trapped by the Red Sea. Pharaoh's coming after us. God made a mistake. God don't make no mistakes.
Amen.
It was part of the plan. It was part of the plan to destroy the Egyptian army. Because the Red Sea was there. And God parted the Red Sea with the breath of his nostrils. And they didn't walk over muddy ground. They walked over dry ground.
Amen.
He even dried it up for them. I believe it was dusty. It wasn't wet. And can you imagine walking through?
What a mighty God.
You watch that old movie, The Ten Commandments, and the walls of water, walking through.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
And then the Egyptians, he left it open. You notice he blocked the Egyptians' way. So Israel could go all night. And that pillar of fire, how did he do this? That pillar of fire gave light to Israel, but was like a dark cloud to the Egyptians. He blocked their way. And then just when Israel is almost across, right, the other side, he says, all right, he moves the pillar of fire. How dumb to go down there. How dumb was it to fight against the living God? Egyptian armies go down in there, and they were all drowned. And what happened to Israel? Did a dance. My God is God. Hey, a little Pentecostal meeting. Whoopee. Hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah.
It's all right to get happy.
Yeah. Amen.
It's all right to praise God.
That's right, amen.
Lord, I need a supernatural voice now. Praise God. So they get on the other side, and the Red Sea parts, and they get over, and then he gives them water from a rock, supernatural. He gives them manna from heaven, supernatural. Praise God. The clothes didn't wear out. They didn't get sick. And then they get to the other side. What's he do? Moses can't go over because Moses represents the law. Law can never take you over. Law is not going to take you into this promised land of miracles. It's going to be the grace of God. It's going to be Joshua. Joshua took them over into the promised land. And when he took them over, once again, the waters part again. All right, he stopped the waters. Once again, it's not muddy water, it's dry ground. And they get across the other side, and the Jericho walls come down. He's a supernatural God. They overcame in the promised land because God did it. And when they went against God, he pulls back and says, hey, you got to be with me. And then when they were with God and they repented, and they took care of the sin, they overcame again. We don't overcome because of us. We overcome because of God.
Amen.
Help us, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Joshua, one day, you know, Joshua, type of the Holy Ghost. Oh, we ought to have confidence in the Holy Ghost. Joshua said, all right, God's got the enemy on the run. When you got the enemy on the run, don't stop.
Amen.
He said, all right, we need some more daylight hours. Sun, stand still.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
How does he do that?
Amen.
You know, I've heard all the explanations. I really don't care. I know my God did it. He did it. He doesn't want us to figure out how he's going to do it or how he did it. He wants us to believe that all things are possible if we only... Joshua, so, that's not even human thinking. That's crazy thinking to think you can stop the sun to stay up there. Sun, stand still. That's inspiration. We need the inspiration to believe in the supernatural power of God. Praise God. Look at Samson and the Philistines. One guy just kills him with a bone that should have just cracked him the first time he used it, but he just killed thousands. It wasn't Samson, it was God that did it. Oh, we could look at so many others. Esther, she's a perfect example of God's perfect timing. I love that. When the king's there and he reads about Mordecai saving him and he wants to bless Mordecai, and Haman was so full of himself. Oh, he was so full of pride. He's coming to the king to try and kill Mordecai. And on the other hand, God's like getting the king wanting to bless Mordecai. Who's out there? Right when the king, what a God of perfect timing. Right exactly when the king's saying, I want to bless Mordecai. And who's out there? And Haman comes in there, all full of pride. Oh, don't have pride. God, he's out to humble everyone that's proud. Amen. So he comes in with all that pride and he says, yes, king. He said, Haman, what should I do to the man that pleases me? And Haman's like, well, who else could he be talking about but me? He said, I'll put on the king's robe and have a man lead him throughout the city saying, this is the man who pleased the king, or you know the story. He says, Haman, great idea. I want you to do that to Mordecai. The very guy that he came there to get killed on the gallows. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. God is God. And you know what happens to Haman? He gets humiliated, but he blessed the man. And the king, like, can you imagine how humbled he was? Oh, praise God. It's so good to know who wins in the end. It doesn't matter what we have to go through. God is the winner in the end. I'm going to stay on God's side. Stay on the Lord's side. And then the very gallows that Haman built to kill Mordecai, he hung on those gallows. Praise God. Because God secretly, Haman didn't know about it, had placed Esther right there. Amen. Placed her right there. Oh, God's got a secret. God's got a secret for overcoming in the last days. He placed a little bride hidden. It doesn't even hardly look like a church. There's not even 30 people there. They don't have an orchestra. They don't have big dance TV screens. And look at the way they dressed. Are they Amish? God's got a secret.
Amen.
He's hiding a bride.
Hallelujah.
He's hiding a bride around the world from every nation, kindred, tongue. He's got a bride, and you know what God's going to do when the timing's just right? He's going to pour out his spirit on that bride, and she's going to manifest the word of God the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
And the supernatural spirit of God will be surging through your body. It won't be you thinking anymore. It'll be God thinking through you. Just like that day when Joshua said, son, stand still. Thoughts are going to come into your mind. You're filled with inspiration. The third pool will be manifested in the fullness of its power.
Hallelujah.
Creative words coming out of your mouth.
Hallelujah.
Because it's not you anymore.
Amen.
It's your God. It's your God.
Amen.
I love Gideon's question. If God be with us, where's all the miracles? Where's somebody bold enough to say it? Where is God?
Amen.
Praise God. Oh, look at the prophets. We could spend a lot of time. But then it came down to Jesus. Let's put up Mark 16. Oh, you got a few minutes today?
Amen.
Let me get this off my heart, because I'll just die if I go home like this now. Mark 16, verse 14. And afterward, he rose from the dead. Do you know what? He rose from the dead. He's alive. He's alive. And afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after. Listen, when the supernatural happens, don't be a skeptic.
God promised the supernatural. But Brother John, it has to be me or it ain't. Don't be like that. Be a believer.
Amen. That's right.
Don't be a skeptic. These disciples, they were humble people, fishermen and stuff. But you know what God did? He always gets a little lower than even where you are. He appeared to the women. Not the women. Oh boy, I just have a feeling he's going to appear to some women around the message. And the brothers around the message are like, oh, he wouldn't appear to them. It'd be me, you know? I'm a great preacher, you know? He has to come to me, like Caiaphas. God help us to get little in our own sight. God knows how to do it. Verse 15, and he said unto them, oh, I only got a few minutes left. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Are you a believer today? Are you really a believer? Because this is the word of God. These signs shall follow them. In my name they shall cast out devils. Do you believe that God gave you the power to cast out devils? Now here, it's not your power, it's his power. It's his word. It's he gave you the authority to cast out. You're not stronger than the devil, but God gave you, the God of all creation gave you the authority to cast out devils in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Faith will make that work. These signs, they shall speak with new tongues. They'll speak with new tongues. I don't care if it's a human tongue or an angelic tongue. They'll speak with new tongues. He promised it. Look at what the word says. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick.
Hallelujah.
And they shall recover.
Amen.
See, it's my desire. I believe God called me to preach this little assembly here. But it's my desire that each and every one of you get to the place of the Lord where you realize you're a believer and these things will follow you. And you don't got to call your pastor to pray for nobody. Listen, I'll go. I'll put my faith with yours. But listen, it's the goal in my mind that you get to the place where the Holy Ghost, when someone's sick, you stand up. Sickness, you got no right here. I'm going to lay my hands, and according to the word of God, they shall recover.
Amen.
Praise God. Is that what the word says?
Right. Amen.
Was that in the message of the hour?
Amen.
Did Brother Branham come to us and say, hey, I got a gift, and it's for me, and it ain't for you? That's not the message.
Amen. That's right, brother.
It's not enough to recognize what God was doing in Brother Branham. You got to recognize God in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
Look at verse 19. I love this verse. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, which is the power of God, right?
Amen.
The right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Confirming the word with signs following. If we speak the word, we can expect God to confirm the word. But has the devil stolen that? Just stole that expectation. Say, who do you think? You're somebody special? You think you're some great somebody. He's always doing that to people. Trying to beat you down. Trying to steal your faith. Just say, I'm nobody special, but my God is. And my God said this, and I believe it. Amen. John 14:12. Let's look at that.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the living Lord.
Oh, Lord Jesus. I get excited. It's all right. Hey, you know, it's good to get excited.
Yes, it is,
this is something real to me. This is real to me. This is a purpose of our life.
Amen, brother.
purpose of my life is not to sell steam traps. Purpose of my life is to get to die to myself and manifest Jesus Christ once again. That's the purpose of our life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, who believes on Jesus?
Amen.
I want to see some hands. Amen. Put them up high. Who believes on? If you don't believe on Jesus, we're going to have a prayer meeting for you. Who's not raising their hand right now?
Hallelujah.
Who believes on Jesus?
Amen.
All right, thank you, brother. I was wondering if he believing or not. He's going to raise his hand. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. What?
Hallelujah.
We're going to get to Jesus' works. You know what Jesus did. He wasn't just a theologian. He was a miracle worker.
Amen.
You know, I have this, you know, all Hollywood can try and portray Jesus, and I don't think any of them can get to it. But I just believe that Jesus was real. Because the Bible said that common people heard him gladly. The common people, not the uppity ups, they didn't like him. Mm-hmm. The common people heard him gladly. He was real. He was genuine. I like what Brother Green says about Brother Branham, because they try and make him a Catholic saint too. He said, you know what, Brother Branham was a pleasure to be around. Amen. Brother Branham was fun to be around. Do you believe Jesus was a pleasure to be around?
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Or do you think he was like one of those Catholic saints, you know? That? I don't believe that. I was raised with that kind of Jesus. But to me, the spirit of Jesus that I interact with, he's wonderful. He's lovely. He's sweet. He's humble. Praise God. The works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Greater works.
Amen.
Listen, I don't care if you think it's greater or more, but look what that says.
Amen.
These signs shall follow and believe. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And whatsoever he shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You know, if you got a couple minutes, I'd have to get this off my chest. You know, in the beginning of his ministry, he goes to a wedding, and he wasn't trying to push himself out in front. And somebody made a mistake and didn't have enough wine. Maybe they underestimated the crowd. And you know, you feel bad for someone that's embarrassed, right? They were embarrassed. There's no more wine left, and people are having a good time, and there's a wedding and everything. And so his mother gets wind of it and comes up to him and says, they ran out of wine. Can you imagine that conversation? Yeah? He's like, woman, what has that to do with me? My time's not yet. Your time's not yet. Okay.
Mercy and grace.
You guys, whatever he says do, you do it. You know, she had experienced some supernatural before.
Amen.
He's like, the public ministry is not ready yet. She's ready.
Amen.
So he goes, all right, fill all them pots with water. So the servants do it, and the host of the meeting doesn't know what's going on, right? And the servants, they knew they filled it with water because they were there and they did it.
Amen.
He says, now bring a sample to the chief of the wedding. Can you imagine the guy? He's tasting water made into wine by the Creator.
Amen. Hallelujah.
He takes it. He goes,
it's good.
He was so impressed. He says, most people serve the good wine in the beginning and the bad wine in the end. He said, you serve the bad wine first, and this is the good wine. Hallelujah. Jesus.
Amen.
Is God.
Lord, hallelujah.
He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Amen.
All that the Father was poured into Jesus.
Amen.
His Spirit is the Holy Spirit.
Lord, hallelujah.
When we get to heaven, we're going to see Jesus.
Amen.
We're going to worship him.
Amen.
Because he is God.
One and only. Amen.
But he humbled himself. as a man, and they didn't even realize God came to the wedding.
Amen.
Changed the water into wine. He healed the multitudes. How many scriptures says he healed them all? He just healed them all.
Hallelujah. Glory be to your mighty.
How about the centurion's servant? You know, whether the centurion came or not, or whether he sent somebody, I don't care. The same story is really good, because the Roman centurion said, hey, just say the word, my servant will be healed. I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. See, that attitude towards God makes a difference. The humble attitude towards God is what makes a difference. I love that. He had confidence. He said, I'm a man. I'm under authority and I'm over authority. I say go and they go. I don't have any doubt about it. And I see you, Jesus. There's something supernatural in you, and you can take care of this disease on my servant. Just say the word.
Amen.
And my servant will be healed.
Amen.
And Jesus was impressed by the faith of a Roman centurion.
Amen.
He said, wow. He said, I like that. Do you think he likes when you have confidence in him?
Amen.
What are we manifesting today?
Amen.
Doubt or confidence in Jesus?
Right. Amen.
Just say the word, my servant will be healed. And in that same hour, the servant was healed. Praise God. How about the attitude of the Syrophoenician woman? You know, we like to make rules, but we shouldn't make rules that God don't make. We like to say, well, if you're going to come to Jesus, you got to do it on your own. Well, the Syrophoenician woman, she begged to differ. Her daughter's back on the bed, possessed with the devil. Right? She got a devil, sickness or something's on her daughter. And she says, I'm not going to fuss with the devil. I'm going to go to Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
I don't care what he says to me. I ain't leaving without some deliverance for my daughter.
Amen.
We need that attitude.
Amen.
And she humbled herself to Jesus. My daughter's grievously afflicted with the devil. He says, it's not meat for me to give the children's bread to dogs. Woo, he called her a dog.
Amen.
He called her a dog. Now, I want to ask you a question. Do you think Jesus thought she was a dog? No. But he was testing her. Testing that resolve. You know why he tested that resolve? He knew she had it in her.
Amen.
To keep pressing. And she said, yea, Lord, but even the dogs eat the scraps from the master's table. She went lower. He said, I don't think you're down low enough. She's like, yes, I could get even lower than that. Praise God. He said, because of this saying, go back, your daughter's delivered.
Amen.
Why? She humbled herself. And God delivered that spirit. Listen, is anything too hard for God?
No, amen.
We got loved ones that aren't saved. Don't put it on them. Let's us go to Jesus.
Amen.
Let's take that on. I take it on today. I got loved ones, children that need an experience with God. I'm going to go to Jesus for them.
Amen.
Don't make rules.
Amen.
Don't do that.
Yes,
God's no respecter of persons.
Right,
if he did that for her, he'll do it for you.
Amen.
Just get the same kind of faith and humility, right? The woman with the blood issue, you got to love her. She spent all her money on doctors, you know, and today the doctors will experiment on you for the rest of your life. They'll put experimental medication. They'll get psychotic medication. They'll do all kinds of stuff to you because you're like a experimental rat in their pen. Listen, there's good doctors. I'm not saying they're not good doctors.
Amen.
But they have so much experimental research going on today. How about the great physician who said he'd heal all of our diseases?
Amen.
Why don't we trust in him? We're like that woman. She had to spend everything and it didn't work until she found Jesus.
Amen.
Said, I got to go to him because I got nothing else.
Whoa.
But look at her faith. If I can just touch the hem of her garment,
Amen.
Hem of his garment.
Hallelujah.
And she's fighting through the crown and she's fighting through and she just touches. He didn't physically feel her touch. But when her faith touched him by touching the hem of the garment, she drew that power out of him. Her faith did that. Praise God. And he turned and said, "Who touched me?" And even Peter's going, "Now don't say that. They already think you're crazy. And everybody's touching you. So don't say, 'Who touched me?'" He said, "Virtue went out of me." Praise God. Amen. We have a high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Amen. See, the Bible has, we have not a high priest that cannot. So you can take out the knots. We have a high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our, we got an English teacher here, we're allowed to do that. See, have not, cannot means have and can. Double negative is a positive.
Amen.
Praise that.
Amen.
Do you realize you have a high priest?
Yes. Amen.
That can be touched. All right, I got to speed it up. The demon-possessed man by the tombs. How about that? It looked like there's no hope there. Mm-hmm. That guy could break the chains. He was possessed by demons. Jesus cast out the devils. He's sitting by the side of Jesus. And he says, "Oh, can I follow you now?" Yes. Our God is God. The man with the withered hand, he's sitting in front of all the religious people. "Stretch forth thy hand on the Sabbath day." Man was not made for the Sabbath. Sabbath is made for man, right?
Right.
Jesus makes a point. God will go out of his way to make a point to bust up our rules. Right? He fed the 5,000. Oh, think about the crowds pressing in. You ever see Jesus in Nazareth? It's an old film, you know, and it's got all the crowds. And I love the scene where Mary Magdalene, she's a harlot, and she comes in, and she's like, you know, they said the curse of God is on you, you know, and she was a harlot. You know, she knew she was wrong. You know, when people are wrong, they know they're wrong.
Amen.
They just don't know how to surrender.
Amen.
And so, Mary Magdalene goes with the crowd, and she normally sleeps during the day, and there's crowds following Jesus, and the disciples are protecting Jesus from everybody going after him, and Jesus is sitting there. And can you imagine the scene? And they're out, and the disciples get worried. They feel sorry for the crowd, the lame and the halt, and all the people coming all this way just to get near Jesus, to get healed. And Jesus is sitting there, and the crowds are there, and the disciples say, "Jesus, we got to send these guys away. We got no food. They got to go into the cities to get food. They're going to be hungry. We can't let them stay here." Our God.
Amen.
You feed them.
Amen.
Us feed them. We got a couple loaves and a few pieces of bread. I mean, how can we feed them? Make them sit down.
Amen.
And I love that story because Peter says, "Do what he says." Do what he says.
Amen.
So they sit down and he prays. And they're giving out fish, right? He said, "This is the last one." And the crowds are reaching into the basket. Oh, I love this scene. I love it. And they're reaching in. He says, "This is the last one. I don't have no more." He said, "What do you mean? There's plenty."
Amen.
And it gets so heavy, he has to put the basket down because it's full of fish. Fish.
Hallelujah.
It's full of cooked bread.
Hallelujah.
He didn't give them raw dough. He gave them cooked bread.
Amen.
And Mary Magdalene gets a hold of one. I love this. Because she's like wanting to believe, but she's, you know, just been hurt so many times in her life, maybe, and she comes through the crowd and she gets the bread and miracle, it's a miracle, it's a miracle, and everybody, he feeds 5,000 people with just a few loaves. How did he do that? Our God is God. And she's got the piece of bread in her hand, and she eats the bread, and she starts break down. It is true. It is true. And later they have her going to his feet and washing his feet with their tears.
Amen.
And the Pharisees looking down on Jesus. "Don't you know what kind of woman this is?" See, to much, much has been forgiven.
Amen.
They love much. But when you haven't forgiven, you haven't been forgiven much because you don't think you need forgiveness, you don't love very much. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
A miracle working God. Fed the 4,000, the blind Bartimaeus, you know, the drought of fishes. You know, when Peter, he goes out, no fish. Go out again. Catches all those fish. the 10 lepers, healed the lepers. We can't even name them all. He fixed the ear in the garden right when they were about to torture him and kill him. And somebody cut the ear off, you know, and he picks up the ear, puts it back on. He's like, can you imagine?
Amen.
Our God can do that.
Amen.
How about Lazarus? Let me finish with Lazarus. He was a friend of Jesus.
Amen.
Mary and Martha were friends of Jesus. And they said, come quickly, Lazarus, he's dying. Somehow he delayed. And Lazarus died. He's in the tomb 4 days and Jesus shows up. Well, you're late. You're too late. God's never too late.
Amen.
He's never too late.
Right.
But notice, Mary and Martha, they still love Jesus. If thou had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, praise God. John 11, let me just read that. John 11:21. And then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know, and even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again.
Amen.
Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the dead. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection.
Amen.
And the life.
Hallelujah.
He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And he went down there. He said, Lazarus, come forth. You know, it would have been something if he didn't say Lazarus, because everybody come forth, right? Lazarus, come forth.
Amen.
And he comes out of the grave. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. Read the book of Acts. Look at the supernatural power of God. What is it that is on my heart today? Go forth. Expecting the supernatural. Go, don't let the devil steal that from you. Believe God. It's not your power. It's his power.
Amen.
I have to confess, I believe God is going to do something very wonderful. Not because of us, but because he wants to. Because he promised to. Let's all stand.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We serve a miracle working God.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads today. Jeremy, if you could come to the piano and just softly play, Only Believe. All things are possible if we only believe. Heavenly Father, Lord, we believe today. Forgive us for our unbelief, Lord. Forgive us where we've let evil spirits come into our mind and place doubts and fears. The 10 spies went into that land hopeful, but they trusted what they could see, not what you said. Help us to trust what you said more than what we see. May we be like Caleb and Joshua. We're more than able. We're more than able to take this land, the land of the Holy Ghost. Lord, I don't know what you're going to do. I just have faith that we haven't even begun yet. Something wonderful is about to happen. Lead us and guide us, O God. Help us to humble ourselves before your mighty throne. May we give way. May we yield to your spirit with the desire that everyone we meet could be saved. Especially those nearest to us, Lord, help us to believe, not look at their condition, but to go to you and humble ourselves to you. Lord, we are just a small little group here. Nothing special about us except what you've done. Lord, our expectations are growing.
Bless the people today.
Lord, if there's one here that's not saved, I ask that you save them, Lord. Lord, all of my prayers and all of my yelling and screaming can't save somebody. It takes your spirit to go to a heart, to give them faith to believe that you paid the price on Calvary. Wash us with the blood. Cleanse us from all sin. Lord, if there's someone here with sickness, you said these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Satan, I rebuke thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of them. In the name of Jesus Christ, you must go. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, fill us with your Holy Ghost. Have preeminence. May we finally live the life that we were born to live. When we turn to the Bible, when we turn to prayer, when we listen to sermons from your prophet, Lord, speak to us. Quicken your word to us. Help us to see what you want us to do. Forgive us, Lord, where we failed you. Bless each one today. Lord, may this not just be another message, but may something anchor within us, Lord. We're here to manifest the Spirit of the living God. In Jesus' name, I ask it. Yes, only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only.